when that newbie sees the size of BTC Prague and sees like 100 companies in the expo section doing this or that and having this kind of services and product.
Yeah, they've set out this mandate to study Bitcoin, and like that's the intent. I don't know how you study it earnestly for any real length of time and not come to the conclusion that this should either be like our full strategy or at least a significant portion of how we proceed.
We know that KPMG, Deloitte, PwC, Deutsche Telekom, Accenture, SAP, IKEA, Volvo, they all are somehow doing something with the Bitcoin.
As either an elected official or someone who's been appointed by an elected official, their duty is to operate and act in the best interest of the citizens of that jurisdiction. Hey there, Michael here with the Bitcoin Way podcast. Today on the show, we've got special guest Martin Kuhasz. He is the co-founder of BTC Prague. They are doing some amazing work bringing the best Bitcoin event in the world. We talk about the event. There's so much news right now about the Czech Republic and its potential adoption of Bitcoin, the central bank level, as well as their new capital gains rules on Bitcoin, which are very promising. Martin is an awesome guy, and as you'll get wind of in this interview, I cannot wait to meet him in person here in a few months and have a Czech beer with him. I really think you're going to enjoy this episode. Hey, everyone. Like I said in the intro, I've got Martin here. Martin, welcome to the Bitcoin Way podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me again.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. So for those of you who maybe follow our channel, you've seen Martin before on Bitcoin Banter, I think just a week or two ago. And I'm happy to be chatting again. We're going to dive a bit deeper into some things we touched on, and then we're going to talk a lot about BTC Prague. Let's start with just the exciting news out of the Czech Republic, though, because you guys have a central bank that seems much more proactively engaged with the Bitcoin community, interested in Bitcoin, potentially put it on their balance sheet. What I'm curious is, to me, this is just like, these are headlines that I see, tweets people are sharing. You're someone who's there locally. What are you hearing about this as someone who would be maybe more directly impacted by this sort of decision?
Thank you. Thank you for the question. Actually, maybe I'll start like a little bit further, because, you know, this all came as like a huge surprise for not only for me, but for whole Czech Republic, and I would say that even to the whole world, because like till now, our national bank here in Czech Republic was like mostly ignoring Bitcoin. You know, they were neither supporting nor fighting, just ignoring, and actually even saying officially that, hey, we ignore, we don't want to be anyhow involved. And it's crazy in such a tempo that the Bitcoin adoption and support from our government, which of course is tricky. I'm not still like really 100% sure if this is positive or not, but it's simply here. How Czechs are becoming so advanced in Bitcoin, because you know, first. And this is like not even a month ago, it's like 2 weeks ago, our president basically signed a law, a new Bitcoin law, which means that, and it's already in effect, which is important, that every holder, we are Bitcoiners, holding for more than 3 years is free of paying capital gain in tax for those holdings, which is like really great. I would say that something like this would never happen here in Czech Republic. And just a week after this moment, the governor of our national bank basically mentioned to the Financial Times that he and the entire national bank considers Bitcoin as a reserve asset, primarily to diversify our Czech holdings. However, which is important to add, is that it's still in the stage of consideration. And it raised like many questions. I believe that it ran all around the world, like it was retweeted so widely. And we talked it in the Banger, right, briefly 2 weeks ago. But it's really funny that after this, he became so popular in Bitcoin space here in Czech Republic, like this actually, that, and he invited few of our the famous Bitcoin influencers, basically the most followed Bitcoin YouTuber who has like almost 100,000 followers. So he's like really famous, for a private meeting to really talk Bitcoin, because he wants to understand if he is onto something, and if he's right, and if he should continue on this journey. And he was assured that the journey is right. Of course, there are like many steps in between. But like after being publicly praised and roasted like for a few weeks, he had he tweeted it like a few days ago, basically, that Bitcoin should not be lumped with other crypto assets, and that that the national banks and the national bankers should study and Bitcoin and explore the technology. Because, you know, he understands that studying Bitcoin will weaken the central bank. Actually, on the contrary, it will strengthen them. And imagine, like, the governor of national bank says something like this on Bitcoin. The strongest voice of, like, money printing mechanism says that Bitcoin should be explored and studied by all national bankers all around the world. So this is, like, really unexceptional. And, of course, I'm again saying, like, that we are still not there. We should be aware, because like we are seeing that even the Trump administration is doing so. It can be still like considered as a populism. I don't know. I only hope for the best. But like what's important is that like considering something like this being true and legit like 5 years ago, like everybody would just laugh and say like, hey man, this will happen like maybe 20 or 50 years. And here we go. Yeah. So like it's really happening. And it's actually even quite funny, because it can really end up of Czechs having Bitcoin as a reserve currency sooner than US, because it seems a little bit that you cannot decide if it should be Bitcoin or XRP there, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I got to say, if the fact that they've set out this mandate to study Bitcoin and like that's the intent, I don't know how you study it earnestly for any real length of time and not come to the conclusion that this should either be like our full strategy or at least a significant portion of how we proceed. And, you know, I told you on Bitcoin Banter, we've talked offline. I have my reservations, obviously, about central banks being so early. I mean, to your point, I think we saw this coming, you know, 10, 20 years from now. Who knows when? It's inevitable. I really want my friends and family to get into Bitcoin before, you know, any central bank. But as you know, I don't know how it works in the Czech Republic, but as either an elected official or someone who's been appointed by an elected official, their duty is to operate and act in the best interest of the citizens of that jurisdiction. And certainly an investment and allocation into Bitcoin would be that. Okay, so here's what I'm curious for you, though, because in the United States, if you walk down the street and you ask 100 people tell you about Bitcoin, to talk about Bitcoin, do they own Bitcoin? I mean, like 1 in 100 maybe are going to give you any sort of, you know, interesting commentary on it. A lot of people are going to think it's a scam. Most people are going to say they've never looked into it. I'm curious, like, does the average citizen in the Czech Republic have any appreciation for what's happening? Like, is this big news there, or is it just us Bitcoiners, you know, excited about what's going on in Bitcoin?
Good question. Like the best number or the best estimation on the adoption rate here in Czech Republic is around 3-4%, which is higher than worldwide standard. We maybe gonna get to the question of like Czech Republic being a Bitcoin heaven, but it's very like the topic of national bank having Bitcoin or using Bitcoin as a reserve currency is like very controversial, and it polarizes the people again, you know. And you can actually really see who is a Bitcoiner and who doesn't understand fiat at all again, because you know, like the traditional part of the world and all the population here in Czech Republic says like our national bank should create a stability and consider having like inflation rate or in the range between 2-3%. That's what they should be targeting, and they don't understand that actually with the traditional tools, it's undoable. You know, that Actually, Bitcoin is the only tool that can finally provide the stability into our currency. And that polarizes them because and then, you know, when you touch the Bitcoin, it's not about our national bank or anything. It's about like Bitcoin versus everything, you know, because and it's really tricky to answer because before people understand fiat and how it is broken, they have zero motivation to learn or get at least any education on Bitcoin. And before they get at least any education, it's hard to persuade them that the paper they have in their pocket is really broken and doesn't work anymore. So, and this is pretty obvious, pretty standard in any country around. So I would say that Czechs are just another example of many. What's quite important to add, actually, that we as the Czechs are like really Bitcoinized, I would say, and heavily orange built. And it even us when I'm invest and when I say us, it's me and my brother and our team, like creating ChainCam conference or working for BTC Rag now. It took us years to like really curate the space. So we organize like mass conferences here and other our friends, podcasters, influencers, YouTubers, or Bitcoiners got their asses kicked so many times just because not talking with shitcoiners and being like very aggressive when it came to any kind of like, you should be open-minded and you should allow us to tell you what this shitcoin is about. We were very strict and very hard. And I believe that just thanks to this, our space is very curated. So majority of the people really understand that if should be anything on our national reserve currency, it should be Bitcoin, that there is no other way. And this is probably what differentiates Czechs, for example, with people in US, that if you will stab 100 people on the street, maybe you will hear XRP. I don't know. I'm just joking, not joking. But here in Czech Republic, the answer would be probably a little bit more straightforward, directing you to the Bitcoin.
Yeah, hey, good for you guys, because I think that's maybe our biggest challenge in the U.S. is just confusion, and I think it's I don't think it's necessarily crypto people. I have a friend who texted me just a couple weeks ago because he'd been asking me a little bit about Bitcoin, and he said, "Hey, what do you think about XRP?" And like, he knows nothing, and my guess is it's just that unit bias. He sees that he could actually save, you know, quote unquote, save in XRP because he could buy, you know, hundreds of them or I don't even know what XRP trades at. But I was like, hey, man, just if you're interested in this stuff, let's talk about Bitcoin. Don't get distracted. But I think we have so much more of that in the United States. And it sounds to me like the hard work you guys have put in has really paid off and that people recognize a distinction. They're less distracted by all of the noise of crypto. And I would say good for you. I would point no further than to the what you mentioned on the capital gains tax, because to me, that's actually more exciting. So what it's after 3 years of holding Bitcoin, no more capital gains tax. Was that like legislation that was passed? Like how did that work?
Yeah, it actually all origin like from the idea already actually 3 years old. I know the people who actually came up with the idea that this should be just set in the law, that actually our legislation should at least somehow set some regulatory framework for Bitcoin and for crypto and for holdings. And I believe that like having 3 years long time test is actually even a little bit better than 1 year's long, which is, for example, in effect in Germany, because that motivates people to really hodl the Bitcoin and not just trade it. That just gives enough time to go at least through one bear market, which makes every holder like a little bit stronger and allows him understand that Bitcoin goes in cycles, and if you are patient enough, the fruit gonna be brought to you. So I believe that the idea is great, and they work on it like the team which created that legislation and which state stands behind it worked so hard for like many years. I won't go into the details. That's for another podcast probably. But I wasn't really sure if this is actually well money and well time spent. But look where we are, right? Like we are here we are part of the European Union having this kind of friendly Bitcoin legislation in effect. And I'm really happy for that they were so like proceeding the future that this might be this might be a way of going further in upcoming years. And of course, it even comes with our president, Petr Pavel. I cannot actually imagine that this would be possible with our previous one, which was like a little bit drunk weirdo. But it happened, and here we are. So I'm really excited, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that is exciting. Here's my sense. In the United States, it seems like people are pretty reluctant. I mean, we have 50 states, and to some degree, the states compete on, you know, tax policy and all of these things, and it's, you know, pretty easy to move from state to state. But we have such a large, bloated federal government that, you know, the distinctions between the states aren't as pronounced and obvious as they should be, because you know, you still have, you know, federal income taxes and all these things. My sense is in Europe, though, there's a bit more appetite to move from country to country. Like, you know, a lot of my colleagues at the Bitcoin Way are based in Europe, and it seems pretty easy for people to, you know, say I live in France, but I'm going to move to Germany, or I live in the UK, I'm going to move to Spain. Do you think that this sort of legislation and just the general trajectory that the Czech Republic seems to be on with Bitcoin, do you anticipate like an inflow of Bitcoiners from other European countries who are like, this is a place where I can go and it's going to be safe? Like, is that something that, and then suddenly that 3 or 4% of people who understand Bitcoin grows to, you know, 5, 7, 8, 10% of people who understand Bitcoin. Is that like a trend that you anticipate?
I would say yes. And I think that Czech Republic is very undervalued country in general. Like, it's still considered as the part of the Eastern Bloc, which I totally like understand. I was born in 84, sorry. So I still like remember those old or Soviet era and days. And yeah, maybe let me tell you a little bit about Czechs and our history, because it will put everything in the right context. And it actually even explains why Bitcoin does so well here in Czech Republic. Yeah, so it's like a 600 years old story of Czechs fighting for our freedom, basically here in the middle of the Europe. We had like two defenestrations happening that happened here in Czech Republic when plebeians threw like German oppressors out from the town hall window, and like a few hundred years after from the Prague castle window, because they were like tired of being ruled by somebody who's not really taking care of the Republic itself. Right after World War II, we were invaded by the Soviet army, and they stayed here for 40 years. Actually, it all ended up with Charta 77, like the protesters' movement, supported by plebs, by the normal people living their daily lives, but being like so heavily oppressed. It was like secret police, a lot of spies, secret spies everywhere, jailing people. And it was like dark ages of our modern history, I would say. And it's actually even weirder that nobody is taught in our history lessons in Czech Republic about those crazy old days, which are actually affecting our daily lives, still our daily lives, so strongly compared to, for example, that there was a war happening between Greece and Rome about 2,000 years ago. Or I will probably be able to name like a few Egyptian pharaohs, but I don't know a lot about our present history, which is like, and it's not a coincidence, obviously. But back to the thing that after the Velvet Revolution that happened in 1989, we finally gain at least some level of the freedom. Of course, we are part of the European Union. We are a small country. We like probably never will be like really 100% free, because as we are so small, we still like need to decide if we want to be part of the Western Bloc, of the Germany and France ruled, or to the east, like Ukraine, Russia, which is probably even worse, actually. Tricky to say. But we at least became like a Czechoslovakia. We divided into Czech and Slovak Republic, luckily in a friendly way, back in 1993. And as it is still like so fresh, it's like 30 years ago, people still remember, actually mine and all the generations, how hard those days were, you know, like there was nothing in the stores, in the groceries, basically anywhere. But this is the moment when I believe that our strong Bitcoinism actually origin from, because as there was nothing present in the store, so when people needed, and you name it, anything, they learned the way how to create it by themselves. So Czechs are really like the inventors and creators, not because we wanted, but because we hadn't have any other chance back those days. So when we needed something, we found a way how to develop it for ourselves. And it continued in the Bitcoin. So when Stick and Slash, founders of the Trezor wallet, were thinking of like, hey, it's probably not really smartest way of storing our keys on the piece of paper, we shall probably keep it somewhere cold, like maybe on a USB drive. So they put their heads together and they created like Trezor wallet, you know, first ever made hardware wallet. Like Slash was part of the team who created first mining pool, because he already understood that mining solo probably won't be effective enough. And he was like trying to find a way how he can merge with someone and share the reward after to make his success rate higher, you know? So again, it's just not a coincidence. First mining ATM, whole seed phrase, whole BIP39 thing, actually origin from Czech Republic. Again, because Stig and Slash were thinking, okay, like having this long like hash of my wallet, it's really sensitive to make a mistake while rewriting it. So it would be great to have it in some way that people can really read it and understand if I didn't made any mistake in the process of writing it down. They chose those 2040 words from the English dictionary and set the whole standard. So Czechs are like really creators of the Bitcoin space. And I believe that this is, yeah, and first Bitcoin conference actually happened in Prague in 2011. So it's not a coincidence that we are so heavily orange-pilled here, because we are like very, very pushed and curated into Bitcoin, skipping shitcoins from the very beginning of the Bitcoin days in our lives, actually. And that actually explains why BTC Prague, like there's no better place to have Bitcoin conference in the Europe, yeah, like that, in the best Bitcoin heritage side of the world.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So let's talk. Well, I want to get to BTC Prague, but I'm always fascinated because I've seen, I mean, it, just in our conversations that we've had, I recognize there is a lot of work that goes into putting on an event like this. And you all are much more, I'll say, disciplined in terms of curating who's allowed and who you kind of keep out and focusing on Bitcoin only. Why don't you give sort of your, like, how did you come to Bitcoin? Because then I want to get into BTC Prague. It's always interesting to me, like, what does it take for someone to get so into Bitcoin that they invest the kind of time that you're investing into putting on, you know, this high production, high quality conference like BTC Prague? So tell me a little bit about your Bitcoin origin story.
Yeah, there was a lot of shitcoins involved, obviously, but you know, I was introduced into Bitcoin back in 2017. It was like March or April, before that crazy pump, actually. When I heard of Bitcoin, like from few friends of mine in 1 week, and when my wife asked me about Bitcoin, like in the evening, I felt like, okay, this is probably something worth of exploration. And I understood that I need to have at least some portion of Bitcoin, basically to have my skin in before like being really interested. So we bought something already back then, and it became like very true. But then I thought that I found like a Bitcoin 2.0. It was a shitcoin, whichever name it was. And I thought that I can make like much more money on it. So I bought it and I lost the money. So I bought more Bitcoin again, etc., etc. And back in 2019, yeah, and I mined a lot, actually. One friend of mine showed me his basement with like tens of GPUs. It was very loudy, but it produced a lot of heat, which was great because he had this heat for free in the winter. And as I was already living in a big old house, I thought like, okay, this is interesting, knowing how much heat actually costs in Czech Republic. So I started to mine on GPUs, luckily turned most of the earnings from ETH to BTC directly. and I learned a lot on the go. But back then in 2019, we sit together with my brother and we did the numbers and we realized, like, why do we do any shit coins? Like, there's no point. It only gets us stressed. It only takes more of our time without getting any profit out of it. It doesn't make any sense at all, actually. So we learned much more. We understood that there's much more on Bitcoin than just from the monetary perspective. So we did our research and we became so like attached that we immediately decided that we want to do something more than just hold it. But as we were no developers or like interested in writing code, we don't know enough. We did our research and realized that there's no proper Bitcoin conference, basically. So we decided to organize it back in the COVID in 2020, which was like a little bit tricky. But we were lucky that we picked a date when the restrictions were down for a week for some reason. Because we were basically only ones organizing anything, we got a huge traction. And it slowly escalated by years to BTC Prague, like if I make the story short.
I love it, man. Well, I was supposed to be at BTC Prague last year. My son got sick as we were about to board our flight to Europe. My plans got derailed. Yeah, I'm going to be there this year, though. And I told my wife I'm going by myself so I don't have to risk child illness. So why don't you, for someone who hasn't been, why don't you kind of explain to me what makes BTC Prague unique? Like, how is it different than, you know, the Bitcoin conference or any of the other big Bitcoin related events?
Yeah, like I believe that it all origins from the fact that we are like true and hardcore Bitcoiners with Matthias, and that this is our only job. So we don't work for any other project. This is our only job, so we can stay like really focused for the whole year to curate the program, to curate the partners, to think about the people. And I believe that the third factor is the most important, because we really think of our visitors at first always. So we want them to have fun, we want them to enjoy, you know, because like after a few months after the conference, nobody really realizes what the talks were about, what companies they met, but what they remember is the emotion, if they were having fun, if it was like well produced. And so this is what we target to. And we consider BTC Prague as a celebration of the Bitcoin. So it's not like Bitcoin conference first. Of course, it's Bitcoin conference, but it's Bitcoin festival. Yeah. So we do a lot of music. We signed a contract with Pilsner Urquell, the best beer on the planet, and we want really people to come, to learn, to make new friends, to get the conformity of being on the right track, you know, because like, if you come and you take your friend who is still like in the newbie phase of things, and when that newbie sees the size of BTC Prague and sees like 100 companies in the expo section doing this or that and having this kind of services and products, when they see all those speakers at the stages, when they see like people having fun and just talking with each other, being like really normal, that they understand that they do not need to consider us being like crazy internet weirdos, that we are like simply humans too, actually. And they understand that Bitcoin is like something they can't ignore anymore, and that it's more legit than they were ever thinking. So this is basically what we are targeting with BTC Prague. We want those famous speakers and famous companies to come to meet their customers, and we want those customers to come and meet them on the opposite. And we want everybody to understand that there's a lot of work that needs to be done on one hand, but on another hand, that like the moment of realization that Bitcoin is here, it's that big, it's growing in such a tempo, makes everybody so stronger and so motivated to the next work, that it creates whole ecosystem stronger and mostly more enjoyable, because at the end of the day, we need to have fun on the go too, right?
Absolutely. So what's your personal favorite thing about BTC Prague, like event or sideshow or whatever, you know, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit biased, but I mostly look for not having any problems on the go, because like those are the most stressy days of the year. But what makes me really proud is when I walk the BTC Prague through, as I'm constantly on move, I'm just walking and seeing if everything is okay. And in between, I'm talking with people, having beer, having fun. And that makes me proud when I see that people are there smiling, enjoying, and showing the gratitude of being there. That makes me really proud and happy.
Yeah, good. So what I'm most curious about, because I've been to a couple of other Bitcoin events and disappointed with, I mean, a lot of good signal, a lot of noise at many of these events. And my sense is that's something that you guys work diligently to weed out and prevent. I'm curious, what's your, how do you think about finding speakers, accepting, you know, as I understand it, you know, not anyone can have a booth there. Who sponsors the event matters to you. How do you think about like where you draw that line? Because there are a lot of companies that in sort of organizations that I would consider sort of shitcoin companies, but they're not exactly, it's not like they're, you know, staking Ethereum or, you know, shilling XRP. They're still, you know, it's sort of Bitcoin adjacent. What's sort of the standard that you set for accepting speakers, accepting vendors and sponsors at this sort of event?
Yeah, you said it right, that it's actually about drawing the line. And that's super hard to draw the line, to be honest. And we didn't find a way of drawing the line. We consider case by case, because like every partner, every speaker, everybody is simply different, having different story. So, but like, for example, what our policy is that we do not cooperate with Bitcoin companies issuing their own token. That's first, because usually, and I would be happy if any company can prove me being wrong. It haven't happened till now. Maybe in the future it will. But usually having its own token means that they are printing their own money, which means they can afford like huge marketing, which I don't really feel fits Bitcoin ethos, and it's not fair. And again, it all goes back. And maybe that's the way we draw the line, you know. It all goes after our visitors again, as I only have one name and one face, and I do not want to meet any of our visitors someday in the future facing me with like, hey, Martin, what was that speaker or project XYZ you had at BTC Prague? I believed and I trusted in your decision and in your curating. I lost money because they scammed or racked me, you know? So this is the guidance. I'm playing it safe for Bitcoin. So it means that it's not always easy because we don't accept shitcoin money. We need to be very budget wise. But we know that it's going to bring fruit in the long term. And mostly, again, it curates the space. So that's one of the reasons why checks are so Bitcoin and not so shitcoined. If I've answered your question.
Yeah, no, you have. I imagine it's hard because there's no hard and fast rule that you can create that eliminates one group. I mean, I think like you're issuing your own tokens. That's, you know, that's an easy one to draw a line and say, nope. But I know the further down into the weeds you get and the more nuanced those takes become, I imagine it's hard. But from everything I hear, and I guess I'll be there in a few months to vouch for it as well.
I can't wait.
Yeah, you guys do a good job. Yeah, you're going to need to introduce me to some good Czech beer because I hear you guys.
You bet.
Perfect. Hey, so before we hit record, you were telling me some other news, and I don't know how detailed you can get, if you can share names, but some other aspects of the conference, I think some events on the front end, maybe before the conference begins, that I don't know what you're going to be able to share here on air. What you were sharing with me is incredibly exciting because you were able to get specific with names. Why don't you just give an overview of what you're looking forward to sort of before the conference even begins?
There's a lot, actually. Like for the conference itself.
Take your time, man. Tell me everything you can.
I believe I can talk about it already. It's basically going to get announced very soon. Like, of course, before BTC Prague itself, there's a Dev Hack Day. That's basically our only site event that we help to organize together with Satoshi Labs. curating the whole speaker list. And it basically started already back in 2023 when we were thinking of like how we can implement those very, very needy open source and technical and geeky topics, which are really needy in Bitcoin and at Bitcoin conference itself. But usually they don't have like such a huge audience that would fit our main stage. And as the venue for BTC Prague already happens is kind of limited with smaller audience or workshop rooms, we decided that we're going to put like those topics a little bit aside, so not to collide with the main lineup, and so we can focus on them much more. So we created a DevEgg Day. There is a link directly on our website, which is a basically 1 day long, very super geeky, open source focused site event. There are four tracks. It's a first layer, second layers, open source technology and having fun, even like Noster, 3D printing, AI, even like psychedelics were included by Yoni Appelberg and all that stuff. And it happens a day before the main conference in the partnering hotel closest to the venue for like 500 geeks. And the feedback we got like already twice was so positive that the attendees were even like joking that it's funny that we organize BTC Prague as a site even for DevEgg Day itself. So it was really great. And this year...
Hey, can I interrupt you real quick?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Just a comment on that. I think that is a really important thing because like that's not my world. Like I'm not a super technical guy. I'm not the audience for that. But something we talk about a lot at the Bitcoin Way is, I mean, philosophically, it feels like mainstream Bitcoin has departed a little bit from our cypherpunk roots, and we need those builders and to have a place where they can, where you get people together. I mean, that's where you find out 5 years later that some business, you know, some Bitcoin startup that revolutionized some aspect of the industry, these two guys met at that sort of event. And I think it's really important. So hats off to you for doing that. And then I'll let you, the next thing I think is what I was even more excited about just based on some of the names that you dropped. So tell me what else you got.
Maybe on one thing on top of that, you mentioned the cypherpunks and the builders and creators. You are actually absolutely right because, you know, I believe that on the bell curve of the adoption, we are really getting to the crossing the chasm moment, you know. We're going to switch from the innovators to the early majority phase in few upcoming years, mostly right. If we're going to grow in such a tempo. If US really access Bitcoin as a reserve currency, that will escalate things so fastly that probably nobody really can imagine. And that's the moment when new people with new intentions, new use cases, new motivations will come into Bitcoin, and they will seek for the answers and for the solutions, which I believe are like almost there, but are not like 100% evolved yet. And to get there, we definitely need those builders, creators, cypherpunks to build them. We need those smart brain minds so we can grow. Because, you know, that will mean that will be the point when the adoption will grow exponentially. Same like internet does back in the 90s, you know. So I really believe that we are sharing we same understand the importance of such a small and very nerdy and very focused events, because when you put those smart minds together, something brilliant happens every time, basically.
Amen.
Yeah. And the second thing, we even realized during BTC Prague, during the years, that Bitcoin even happens on the opposite scale, actually, or opposite side from the traditional perspective. Like, we know that KPMG, Deloitte, PwC, Deutsche Telekom, Accenture, SAP, IKEA, Volvo, they all are somehow doing something with the Bitcoin. Very slowly, behind the curtain, not telling anyone. Usually they even do not know in the company internally that there are two departments working on something with Bitcoin. This small it is. But we understand how it is important to allow those corporates to understand the Bitcoin, because, you know, let's imagine like PwC, for example, or Deloitte, or all those auditors, they are helping like huge scale companies to the advocacy, with the advisory, with the tax, with the regulations. Those companies are already here. Like imagine Satoshi Labs, they sell their hardware wallets in 140 countries worldwide. They need someone who can advise them on that level. So those corporates gonna need at least some Bitcoin knowledge sooner or later, because the touch point with the Bitcoin definitely gonna happen. And we wanna help on this with a dedicated special site event, which is called Bitcoin Corporate Day. It's gonna happen in Prague during BTC Prague as our second official site event, with the purpose and with the mission of like letting those corporates understand from the high level or high perspective what Bitcoin is. So to be sure that when the touch point happens, they know the direction, they know who to ask, they know who to talk with, they know what to do to avoid any stupid mistakes. So again, we are trying to curate the space to allow it to move in the right direction, because we want Bitcoin to go in the right direction, avoiding any mistakes. And so far from the confirmation we have, the event is like very, very appreciated. Basically, it's a no-brainer. Those corporate people will come, learn, and share what they do and what they want to do. We only need to put it together and get our webpage live, which going to happen, it's 24th of February, in upcoming weeks, basically. And it's basically another milestone we are setting in Prague. We want Prague to be like a really Bitcoin hub with all the knowledge. And I believe that we are on the right way to get there.
Yeah. So just zoom out for a minute. Do you think that sort of what you're talking about here, these are some very large companies you're talking about. My first job out of college was at PwC, and I understand what a large enterprise that is. And you're talking about some even bigger ones, SAP and many of these. Do you think, so we started off with nation state adoption and the Czech Central Bank. I wonder, though, if we're still going to sort of follow this more logical order of, you know, cypherpunks get into it and then a bit of retail adoption. We're seeing a little bit of institutional adoption, but it's still just a few companies. Do you think like the next wave is more likely to be the nation state adoption, like, you know, the Czech Central Bank, and then maybe and like we have El Salvador, obviously, right now? Or do you think that some of these companies you're talking about are maybe going to spur the institutional adoption to a higher level, where over the next 4 years, say, we see big companies get involved, we see more MicroStrategy copycats, and then we gradually migrate? Or do you think it's all just kind of going to happen at once? Like, what if you were just to guess what the next, you know, 4 to 7 years hold in terms of adoption beyond just retail, you know, folks like ourselves, what do you think is going to happen?
Yes. I don't want to be a pessimist, but I believe that there is not enough cypherpunks or freedom fighters in the world to compete the size of the nations and those corporates. So, which is kind of sad to me. I would like more cypherpunks and more freedom fighters and creators to come to the space and to help it grow, because that's the way of the right growing I like the most, because they care of the privacy and self-sovereignty. But on another hand, I believe that it's inevitable, and it's again like internet in 90s, which was like internet was born like a small university network allowing students to communicate and share on their research. And look where we are now, like when Microsoft, IBM, Dell, Hewlett Packard and companies like this joined the space, they changed it drastically. And I believe that it's inevitable. But on another hand, what's wonderful on Bitcoin is that you can keep your keys private and you do not need to tell anyone. So it doesn't kick all those cypherpunks and all those freedom fighters from the game, that that part of the world will still live and exist. And I believe that, and I hope that it will become even stronger, but they will probably need to learn how to live besides those corporates and nation states adopting Bitcoin, because you can somehow ignore them. I don't know. But from my perspective, this will definitely happen. More companies will be introduced into Sailor's playbook. It makes perfect sense, actually. Like it's funny, for example, here in Czech Republic, it's in our legislation that companies are allowed to have like a reserve fund in their accounting, basically keeping all money they do not need to spend somehow stored for future or potential problems. Nobody uses it for already 10 years because fiat is broken, but it's starting to make sense again with Bitcoin, right? So, and that would be great if companies will like keep their overproduction in Bitcoin, storing it as a value for their growth they probably don't know about yet, or for anything else that will motivate holders to keep the Bitcoin and hold them for more. That will and I hope there won't be so much shitcoining and shitcoin casinos and these kind of things when Bitcoin's gonna get stronger and gonna more like adopted and considered as a something stable. But who knows, right? We all know nothing.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's pessimistic. Like if a company like SAP adopted a Bitcoin strategy like Sailor and Strategy have, or the big four accounting firms, if they started offering consulting and advisory practices centered around Bitcoin and Bitcoin, you know, adoption and how your company can do the same thing. That's the equivalent of a million or a couple million new individuals, you know, joining the Bitcoin network. Like these are just massive pools of capital,
massive, yeah.
Lot of time and focus on that. Like I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, my alma mater PwC has a very large Bitcoin advisory practice at some point in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah, specifically to serve, you know, other companies. So, I don't think it's pessimistic. I think it's just, it's realistic that these are some very big players with again, very large pools of capital. So I'm excited about that. And I think part of the reason I'm excited about that is because I'm hopeful that we at least maybe get to enjoy seeing private businesses who on their own accord get to do this. They're not, you know, they're not taking tax dollars or printing money to accumulate Bitcoin. They're providing services into the real world. I hope they get to front run some of these nation states. That would be my preference anyway. Okay. I want to ask a question about, your vision and view on the future of Bitcoin events and conferences in light of two scenarios, because, and this is something just so you know, I'm not putting you on the spot here in a way that I don't with other people. When I had Alex Leishman on of River, I asked him about, hey, what happened when people are just earning in Bitcoin? Bitcoin's just being used as money, as, you know, medium of exchange, unit of account. What happens to exchanges? And I'm curious for you how you think about the future of Bitcoin events, especially a big event. And the first scenario is when Bitcoin hits $1 million or some very high number, right? And like I think we all believe that's going to happen here in the coming years. For anyone attending an event like yours, they're to some degree putting a target on their back that I own and hold Bitcoin. Do you think that these events are eventually, for safety purposes, going to become a bit lower profile, maybe less fanfare? You know, I don't know. I could see people becoming a little more reluctant to go to a giant event where they're wearing a Bitcoin shirt and they're walking around and everyone on the street knows that person has Bitcoin. Have you thought about what BTC Prague might look like in that sort of environment?
Yeah, good point. Yes, we thought about it a lot. And it again comes to that bell curve of adoption. And, you know, and we thought about it maybe from the perspective of attack vector, you know. So, yeah, maybe those people will mark them as a target on one hand. On the other hand, like you always need to look at this from the perspective of the attacker, because he considers like what's his cost. Is it like $5 range attack, or does it require something more sophisticated, like that Ledger CEO was kidnapped, which was like horrible actually. But maybe to get back to your question, I more like think that Bitcoin conferences on a massive scale, when Bitcoin gonna grow to dead numbers, will definitely change, because, you know, we don't have like internet conference, you know, we don't have like mobile phone conference. Yeah. We don't have, we have car, we have like automobile conferences. Okay.
But not introducing the concept of an automobile to the world. It's a very different thing.
Exactly. So I believe that the Bitcoin will somehow dissolve into the other industries and will simply become part of our daily lives as internet became, you know? And if people will wear like a t-shirt with a Bitcoin or gonna feel like being a target while attending the conference, this is already present, actually. You know, there are I know about a lot of Bitcoiners who basically love Bitcoin, work hard on Bitcoin, but won't ever go to the conference because they are already feeling like being afraid. They sit on like huge sacks and they don't want to risk on one hand. On the other hand, they want to meet people. So it's all, this basically goes after every single personality and maybe risk awareness and understanding like the benefits and the pros and cons of being at the conference. So like they are actually two aspects of like people and the conference itself, like in general, how it will change. And it will change a lot if Bitcoin becomes a majority or like a standard thing of our daily lives. But this is something we're going to see in few years, I believe.
Yeah. I think you've still got a good bit of time to run with a large scale conference. And, you know, because you're right, some people are going to stay home from the conferences. And I imagine at some point I'll feel the same way. But at the moment, I think the upside just far outweighs the risk. I mean, one of my favorite things to do is get out and meet, like, I mean, you know how this is. I mean, you work in it too. Like, you meet a Bitcoiner and you immediately have 20 things in common, and you can sit and talk with someone you've never met for 3 hours without, you know, and it feels like it's been 10 minutes. So, I guess
that's
the other
unprecedented.
Oh yeah. There's just nothing like it. I guess the other scenario I'm curious about is, and you sort of alluded to, as Bitcoin just becomes money, we're just, you know, and we don't have, you know, mobile phone or, you know, internet conferences. Do you think that the nature of Bitcoin events will turn into more like smaller niche sort of focused events where we're talking about, and I'm not promoting or endorsing any of these things because I have mixed opinions about a lot of, quote unquote innovations in Bitcoin, but like you have a Bitcoin lending conference, you have Lightning conferences and how people are enhancing the medium of exchange use case. Like, do you think it'll just be smaller conferences, kind of the way we have like finance meetings of financial, you know, different groups of finance professionals today?
Yeah. That's probably the way it's going to escalate to, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be curious to see what that looks like. But to me, it seems to make a lot more sense. It's just right now, I think you can have a festival and you can get a bunch of Bitcoiners together and they can talk about a whole host of topics. But it'll be really fun and interesting to see how these things evolve when 80% of the world is earning income in Bitcoin, right? And I'll be curious to see what you guys are doing, like how Prague is changed and adapted.
Man, we're gonna have another beer then. Yes.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
Let's mark this down. When Bitcoin hits 80% of adoption, we're gonna meet for a beer.
Absolutely. Dude, I will fly and meet you anywhere in the world for a beer when we're at 80% adoption. I'll be able to afford to fly anywhere in the world. Bitcoin
I bet, yeah.
Okay, hey, just a couple more questions to round things out. So over the next 12 to 18 months, I'm just curious what you're most excited about in Bitcoin. I mean, you don't have to give price predictions or anything like that, but just anything that you sort of envision and are looking forward to. And you're welcome to talk about, you know, what maybe the Czech central bank does or anything, but you've got a lot of exciting things going on and have your, you know, hand on the pulse of many events and things like that. What makes you most excited?
Oh, yeah, good question. Oh, there's
so many.
So much, yeah. I'm really excited to and more like curious to see like if Bitcoin will really become like institutionalized, you know. I don't have like really strong opinion on both sides, as you know. Mostly I know that I understand nothing about the potential consequences of how this can get Bitcoin to which extent that Bitcoin gets to, but I would really like to see what would happen when Bitcoin's gonna get accepted as a reserve currency by USA, owned by our national bank, and how people, mostly I'm interested not in like what will really happen to Bitcoin, but I'm really curious to see like what people will, how people will change their mind. Like, will they become believers? Will they understand the case? And what I'm mostly interested in the future is like how Bitcoin will really help the society and our, mostly our country here in Czech Republic. We are part of the European Union, which is where it is. I want to be just diplomatic here. It's not going in the right direction. Like, the biggest innovation here in Czech, in Europe in general, was that we attached the cap of the bottle together, you know. Wonderful. Thank you, European Union. It's not going well. People are starting to understand. But is this legit? I'm more like tend to think that it's my sense of feeling because I live in our in my small Bitcoin bubble, you know. And always when I look outside of the bubble, people think that I'm crazy, like if I'm a Bitcoin believer. So I hope this changes. People became more believers, so they will be opened to understand how fiat is broken, and that we need to act, we need to do something to survive our future, because the way we live now is on our children's debt, which is unacceptable for me. I'm taking good care of my family and my kids' future. I hope they're gonna be safe, but are they going to be safe if they are representing only 2% or 3% of the population? I don't really think so. So this is what I'm curious to see, how Bitcoin will help and change those things. And if it is like USA, and it's a reserve, having Bitcoin as a reserve currency, if it's Czech Republic having Bitcoin as a reserve currency, if it's a new cypherpunk movement growing besides our standard civilization, I don't know. But I'm definitely curious and excited to see how this is, what's going to happen, because I'm working hard to make it happen.
Yeah, I know you are. Okay, last question for you. It's one I ask at the end of every episode. What is an unpopular opinion that you hold, and you get bonus points if you offend some Bitcoiners with this opinion?
Yeah, almost all topics in Bitcoin are unpopular for someone. This is funny. Oh, man, you got me here. Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah.
I guess you...
Really? You got me here, man.
I guess the thing is, as a Bitcoiner, like the opinions that you hold are unpopular, when compared to the broader population. How about like, you could almost take any direction on the central bank issue, though. Like, are you excited about the Czech bank? I mean, I know as a citizen, there's some enthusiasm that, hey, maybe they're going to make the right decision on this. But there's also a lot of reluctance on the part of many Bitcoiners like myself, who really don't want nation states adopting Bitcoin, certainly not anytime soon. What side of that argument are you on? Like, all in on the Czech central bank adopting Bitcoin, or, you know, don't want them to?
Each coins has a two sides. I'm full in, because I believe that this is the way the Czech currency and Czech Republic can be at least somehow saved in the future. On one hand, on another one, like, they are going to buy the Bitcoin with freshly printed money. It's a theft, as the inflation and the taxation. So, like, go fuck yourself, right? Like, man, like, it's really tricky, because, you know, there are consequences on anything, mostly on this scale. And I'm definitely not capable of understanding and like absorbing them all. So it's really hard for me to make an educated and right decision. So I only stand like on my senses and mostly the media populism, which is actually even worse. But like in general, like, go fuck politics, go fuck state, actually, and just make Bitcoin stay focused and do what you do, because that's the only way.
I love it, man. Hey, why don't you give everyone a handoff? Tell people where they can find you. Tell them about BTC Prague, what they need to be looking for.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's quite obvious. BTC Prague, it's our webpage.com, and it's our handle and at X. And I'm at X too, but it's my name, which is kind of tricky. So maybe if you can please link it down there, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And yeah, X is definitely the best way of reaching out in any case. Or otherwise, for the general questions, it's hello@btcprague.com.
Perfect. Martin, it has been so much fun talking to you and getting to know you the last few weeks. And I'm looking forward to having a good Czech beer with you in just a few months.
Yeah. Thank you very much, man. I really appreciate being welcomed again.
You bet. Cheers.
Cheers.
And that's a wrap. Again, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Martin. He is an awesome guy doing some amazing things in Bitcoin. Go check out BTC Prague. If you can get there, you need to make sure you are. You can meet me. You can meet the rest of the Bitcoin Way team there as well. Go follow him. Go follow BTC Prague on X as well. Of course, if you are enjoying the show, do me a favor. Feed the algorithm. Give us a like, comment, subscribe to the channel, share it with someone who you think might be interested. And of course, if you need help with Bitcoin in proper 100% self-custody, the Bitcoin Way is your one-stop shop. We can help you do it the right way the first time. It is only freedom money if you alone hold it. We also help with online privacy. We can help you set up a privacy phone. We also have a Plan B residency option for you. So go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consult with a member of our team. We'd love to chat with you. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.